Okay, Tuesday evening, Erica, Nita, Meir, Women's Learning Division of Adas Yeshurun. Parshas Tetzaveh, Tovshin Pei Aleph, 2 days, unbelievable. It's Tuesday night, and 2 nights it's going to be Purim. Scary thought. Okay, I'd like to begin tonight with a Gemara. This Gemara is found in Maseches Pesachim, which was just learned last week in Daf Yomi, and is also found in Maseches Menachos. The Gemara in Maseches Pesachim and Daf Pei Vov says the following. The Beis HaMikdash was a very big building. It had many different gates. And one of the gates in the Beis HaMikdash, it talks about that a design on the gate of Pei Vov and Aleph, there was a design on one of the gates which resembled Beis Amos Hoya B'Shushan Habira. It was a gate called Shushan Habira. Now, why in the world was a gate in the Beis HaMikdash called Shushan Habira? So the Gemara in Menachos elaborates on this point. This now is on Daf Tzadik Chesem and Aleph in the Sechus Menachos. And the Gemara has a machloikis amaroyim about the reason for this gate, which was Shushan Habira, welcoming Mrs. Polsky, who is here also with us. The Gemara says, my timer, what's the reason? What's the reason for this Shar Mizrach had a picture of Shushan Habira on it? Rav Chizda of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avdimi. So, Chizda Rizabar Dimi, Chad Oma, Kidei Shiyedu Mehechon Bo. They should know from where they came. What does that mean? Rashi says, V'yoru Mehechon Bo, they should see from where they came. V'yitnu Hoido, and they should give thanks to the Malchus that allowed them to come. What does that mean? We all know that Klal Yisrael was in Golus of Paras Umodai under Achashverosh. Achashverosh, as we've been speaking, was married to Esther. They had a child, Koresh, Dayovish, different names. And he was the one who gave permission for Klal Yisrael, in fact, to go up and rebuild the Beis HaMikdash. It's a question about the age. It's a whole tumult, but Lamaisa, that's what happened. So that's the first Mandi Omar. The second Mandi Omar says that the reason they had Shar Shushan Habira, with the tzura of Shushan Habira, the form of Shushan Habira, is Kedeshe Tehe Emas Malchus Aleihem. What does that mean? That the fear, the fright of the kingdom of Poras should be on top of them, above them, below Yimradu Bahem, and therefore they should not rebel. Below Yimradu Bahem. Which means that in the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, Klal Yisrael was in Golus. We don't think that way, because it was a Beis HaMikdash, and we were in Eretz Yisrael. But Klal Yisrael may have been in Eretz Yisrael with a Beis HaMikdash, but Klal Yisrael, in fact, was in Golus. Klal Yisrael was in Golus. Okay, so now, Galaxy 7, J7 Star just joined us. I don't know who you are, but you definitely have an interesting name. Mrs. Brody. Mrs. Brody, okay. Mrs. Brody's in a different galaxy. Very wonderful. Okay. Now, the Marsha, one of the great Achroinim, going back to the 1600s, says a pshat here in this Gemara, very, very short, very succinct, but like the Marsha always, incredibly insightful. Very Yesidistic. Oy Yesh Loimar, says the Marsha, why does it have a picture of Shushan Habira? Kedeshi Yizkara Adam, so that a person should remember, be Ace Gidulasoi, at the time of his greatness, he should remember Shiflusoi. Shiflusoi means great is Godol, low is Shofol. He should remember at the time of his greatness, now we're in the Beis HaMikdash. Don't forget where we used to be. Don't forget we used to be in Shushan Habira. Don't get so excited. Don't go jumping around. Don't forget. And he says, Ke'inyin Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, Marshall is telling us, is that wherever we are, and we feel good and we feel great, we're in Eretz Yisrael, we're with the Beis HaMikdash, don't forget Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim. That there was a time that we're in Mitzrayim, even though the words are Zecher Letzias Mitzrayim, to getting out of Mitzrayim, he says it refers to the fact that we were in Mitzrayim. Okay, so this, obviously, Rashi's saying, Tu Amaroyim is saying Pshat, and Rashi's saying Pshat, and Rashi's saying Pshat. This is obviously a very strange issue. I'll give you an example. I don't know if you could appreciate it or not. Let's take an example of the Lakewood Yeshiva. A yeshiva that has several gigantic buildings, housing between 7,000, 8,000, 9,000 Talmidim. It's a whole city, Lakewood Yeshiva. And the main entrance to the main building, can you imagine if on top of the main building they had a picture of the White House? What's the White House have to do with a yeshiva? What's the White House have to do with the biggest yeshiva in the world? Why is the White House there? Obviously, it means subjugation, or some type of awe, some type of reverence. You don't put the picture of the White House on a yeshiva. Unless you have to, obviously. Okay. So now, I would like to take us for a moment through the last 2 weeks of Shir that we've had. And I'd like to add to that something we said on Shabbos. I'd like to put it all together to perhaps give another reason. Now, we mentioned here on Tuesday night for the last 2 weeks that in the Shir on Tefillah that Purim has a very big dogush, meaning there is a very big point or mark of importance b'nogea Tefillah. He spoke about Tefillah, the Gemara in Daf Dalid that says that we lane the Megillah twice because the ness of Tefillah, Rashi says, it's the ness of Tefillah, which is very unusual. Ness of Tefillah. And we brought many rayas to this concept that Purim has a very big dogush emphasis on Tefillah. Then we spoke about the fact that the Jewish people have a big emphasis on Tefillah. B'charbi u'b'kashti, the words in Parshas Vayechi, that Klal Yisrael fights, we fight our battles with Tefillah. B'charbi u'b'kashti seemed to mean a sword and a bow. And it's true, there was a sword and a bow. And that's how we conquered Shechem with the sword and the bow. But the sword and the bow are energized, are mechanized, can be utilized through the power of Tefillah. Kol Kol Yaakov Yidayim De Esav. Although Esav and Yaakov look like they're both fighting with swords, Esav's power for the sword, in fact, comes from his Yadayim. Yaakov's sword comes from his Koil. Esav's sword comes from brute strength, physical world, and Yaakov's sword comes from the strength of Kol, of Tefillah, of davening to Hashem. Now, Esther Hamalka, came to Mordechai HaYehudi after they decided that she would go to Achashverosh, Birotzon and Karshavadati Avodati, and they would have to lose their marriage. She said, well, if you want me to do that, I want you to fast for 3 days with everybody in Klal Yisrael, which really is 72 hours of fasting, but with tefillah. Hashem never wants a fast alone. Whenever there's a fast, he wants tshuva and tefillah. So Chazal did something very interesting. There is a tour. A tour is one of the great halachic decisors who preceded the Shulchan Aruch. And the tour quotes something very interesting. And Shimon Esrei, on Yom HaNeroyim, one of the first additional words that we add is the word uvechein, tein pachtecha. We say the word uvechein. Says the Torah, why did Chazal choose the word uvechein? Because uvechein relates to Esther. Because Esther told Mordechai, when Mordechai said, go to him willingly, and kasher avadati or avadati, Esther said to Mordechai, "Ubechein avoy el ha-melech, I am going to go to the king." After she told Mordechai, "I want you to fast for 3 days, shloishes yomim laila v'yoy, and gam ani v'naroisai, and I and my chambermaids will do the same thing. You, ubechein avoy el ha-melech, and then I will go to the king." Says the tour. That's why we start of Shemoneh Esrei, ubechein tein pachtecha, to remind us of Esther. So initially, a number of years ago, I said this means to remind us that Esther was engaged in davening. She got all of Klal Yisrael to be engaged in davening. Therefore, we allude to Esther with the word of Achain. However, now, I'd like to say that perhaps we can add. And that is, that Esther was not only alluding to davening. Esther was alluding to what we have been saying here about don't give up. Don't give up. He spoke about the fact that Esther, Rachman al-Hassan, was taken into the castle to be the wife of Achashverosh. Rachman al-Hassan and everything she went through as the wife of Achashverosh is a horror story, the most horrible thing that could happen to a Jewish woman, to have to be engaged with a non-Jewish man. And we spoke about this many times. Not only did she marry him, live with him, but she was alone with him afterwards, because until the point of Karasharavadati or Vodati, she was still mutter to Mordechai. Clandestinely, she was married to Mordechai. Clandestinely, she was together with Mordechai. She would sneak out of the palace and leave and go to Mordechai. Unbelievable. 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 And now she was alone. Mordechai went back to Eretz Yisrael. Whether he returned afterwards, I don't know, but he went back there to Israel to rebuild the second base of Migdash, to be there when it was being rebuilt. And she obviously was not there. She was in the castle with Achashverosh. But she taught us an incredible lesson. Not only to daven, and we spoke about the fact that all women should try their hardest that at least one of the three tefillahs, if not all three tefillahs, on Purim, they should daven with all of their koiches, like all the men, because the day of davening on Purim is incredibly powerful. As we mentioned, that the day is a day which is comparable to Yom Kippur as far as the power of davening is concerned. And that's why people should try their hardest to arrange their day so that they have time to daven. So, although a few years ago I wanted to say that Chazal wanted to say with the word of Achain to bring in the power of Esther for tefillah, now I like to add, to bring in the power of Esther, that Esther said to Klal Yisrael for herself and for future Doros, "I am going to remain in the castle and I'm not giving up. I'm not giving up. Although it seems horrible, I'm not giving up. I'm going to maintain my same level of sanctity and Kedusha," which is what she did. Incredible. Comparable to Yosef HaTzadik, who also was mentioned twice in the Chumash. Rashi mentions twice that Yosef HaTzadik, Yaakov Avinu's son, said about him, "Aroisha mita, ashoisha mitoso shleima, v'lohoya barosha shari Yosef melechu." Yosef was a king, and he was captured among the goyim, and he remained a tzadik. That's in Parshas Vayechi, and in Parshas Shmois, he says the same thing again. Who Yosef, the same one who was the shepherd of his father's flock, who Yosef Shoyim Mitzrayim, who became king, but Oimei B'tzidka remained a tzaddik. Esther did the same. Under harsher circumstances than Yosef. Yosef was at least married to a Jewish woman. Yosef had the privacy to go home at night to his wife after he was in jail and incarcerated and everything else that happened with Esther Potiphar, but at the end, at least for the last number of years, he was married to a Jewish woman. Esther was taken away. Good, she was married to Mordechai Avada, but she was taken away to a non-Jewish man. And she gave a message to the Doiris. Her message to the Doiris was, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. I made it. You can make it. Don't give up. Now I'm wondering, based on this, I'd like to say something, Rabbi Say. During the second base of Migdash, there was a shar, there was a gateway. And that gateway had a form of Shushan HaBira. And again, one Amora says the pshat is to recognize that they allowed us to build the Beis HaMikdash. One was the pshat to fear that they are still in charge, even though we have a Beis HaMikdash. The Mashal says it means that even when we're in a time of godless, don't forget our shiflus. Don't forget our shiflus. I'd like to add, perhaps. I'd like to recognize number 23. Who is number 23? Phone number 23. Okay, your phone number ends in 23. You're not obligated to tell us who you are if you can't. It's okay. Now, I'd like to add, Marshall said that when we have a point of godless, don't forget our shiflus, like Zeichel Yetzias Mitzrayim. I'm wondering if Esther is saying the following message, as we've been talking now for the last week. A Jew should always remember that even when they are in a state of shiflus, shiflus meaning even when they are in a state of being badgered, when they're in a state of being tortured, when they're in a state of being alone and not connected to anything Jewish, when they're in a state of shiflus, they should not give up and they should still maintain and feel they're godless. People have challenged Bizmanenu. They're not challenged, Baruch Hashem, we're not challenged with the challenge of Stalin Yimach Shemoy, Hitler Yimach Shemoy, we're not challenged. We're not challenged right now with the challenge of our scholar, of people coming and telling us that philosophically we have no idea what's going on in the world. We're not challenged like that. But we are challenged that right now, if you want to call it progressive left, if you want to call it promiscuity in general, we are continuously challenged with the nesoyin of wealth. Wealth is a nesoyin. We all know that many of us like to be wealthy. We ask for brachas, etc., etc. The bracha should be that I have parnasa. Wealth is a nesoyin. What I mean, wealth is a nesoyin. When people have money, there are temptations. I'll say it. I said it on Shabbos. I'll say it. Some people may not like it. I apologize to those people who may not like it. I don't mean anybody right now in the shir. But I am not enamored with chocolate, CBD-infused chocolate. I know it's infused with marijuana, but it doesn't give you a high. I'm not enthralled with it at all. As a matter of fact, I feel the opposite. And there are many other examples in which we are taken by advertisers, promoters, who push us that if we don't live in certain apartment buildings with certain type of views over certain type of cities, we're not making it in life, etc., etc., etc. But more than that, if children, chas v'sholom, grandchildren, spouses, say, I can't live this way, I have to live with the mores of society, and I don't feel that following the Torah, Rachman al-San, is the right way to go, I can't stand up to the pressures of everybody else doing it differently, says Esther Hamalka, that when we're in a state of shiflus, we can still feel our godless. The Mashal says that when we're in a state of godless, of greatness, of geula, then we should remember that we were once in shiflus and it shouldn't go to our head. As he said, Shushan Abira. I would like to say another pshat. I'm not arguing chas v'shalom with the Mashal. Another pshat. From Esther Amalka. That when we're in a state of shiflus, it looks like everything is lost. Every Jew should know that he or she is a receptacle of godless. We are the people, we are the progeny of those people who accepted the Torah. We are the people, we are the progeny of those people, the Am HaShem Bechartu, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose as his nation, with the Am HaNivchar. We are never in a state of shiflus when we deal intrinsic makeup of who we are. Intrinsically, we are never shiflus. We're always godless. I'm wondering if it's not possible to say that Shushan Abira was a sign in the Beis HaMikdash. And it's true, it was a sign that we have to thank the Persians for letting us come up. And it's true, it's a sign that we have to be worried about what the Persians are going to think. And it's true, it's a sign that even when we have godless of having a Beis HaMikdash in Eretz Yisrael, don't forget that we once in a state of shiflus. But I'm wondering, is it also not true that it's a sign that even if there is shiflus in the world, and the tide and the current is so powerful to pull us to follow it, we are people of godless. That's what Esther was telling us. I made it through this horror scene. You can make it through 2021, Tov Shin Pei Aleph. That's an incredible message. As we spoke last week and 2 weeks ago about the day of being powerful to daven, the day being powerful to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to davening. Now I want to say that the day is powerful through this incredible lesson. This incredible lesson that was viewed every day, every time somebody walked into the Beis HaMikdash. There's Shushan Abira, and Esther HaMalka made it. She remained Esther, pure, pure Esther. She remained pure, pure Esther. We don't have to give in. We don't have to change. We don't have to become like anybody else. I never thought about this before. I'm thanking you. I'm putting together a lot of things we said over the years, but this concept of Shushan Abira being in the Beis HaMikdash to tell us that we have to be worried about, we do have to be worried about the Persians. Somebody just gave me a whole article from Sunday's Tribune, reprinted from the New York Times. We have to be worried about anti-Semitism, Rahman al-Islam. Of course we do. But those of us who feel weak and say, no, we also have to worry about not fitting into society and not doing what society does and not following what society feels, etc., etc. No, that we never have to do. I, Lamaisa, how are we going to make it? I, with the smallest among the nations, the least amount of people, surrounded on Eretz Yisrael by tens of millions of people who hate us. Zok Esther HaMalka, every Jewish man and every Jewish woman can make it. And that's why it could be, as I'm saying, that's another reason why Shushan Abira's picture was there. Shushan Abira's picture was there. So with that in mind, Rabbi Isaiah, I'd like to remind everybody, again, for the best of everybody's ability, pressure is enormous, but to the best of everybody's ability, that we should all be zeicha to try to find time on Purim, to make sure that we daven, and we daven well. We daven with kavanah. You know, I don't know if I said it or not, but if I did it, maybe it bears repeating. That, you know, on Tu B'Shvat we daven for a good esrog. Okay, sounds like a fairly minor detail in our lives, but it's an esrog. Rosh Hashanah, obviously, we daven for our lives. In Kippur, we daven to be forgiven. On Purim, we daven for everything. Everything. That's the power. Everything. Included in everything is, I don't want any of my progeny, and of course not myself and not my spouse, to follow in the mores of society. And I want all my children to be tzaddikim, balei midas tovos, okay, thank you all, Rabbi Isai. Soon enough, we'll be back in shul, Bez Hashem Yisbarach, and I won't have to give a shiur over Zoom, and I won't have to run out and go back to shul, etc., etc., etc. And we all should be zeicha to a gevaldik Purim. Everybody's invited. I can't invite everybody to my house as I do every year. I'm sorry. We're all invited to allow ourselves during Purim to think about the schus that we have, that we are the Am HaNivchar, the nation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu chose. Okay, thank you all.